Like, none of them cared. Like, it was as though I wasn't even here. So you have this kind of double thing going on. One is, I hope someone gives me something. And I hope I didn't leave anybody off in my list, because I'll have to think of some quick excuse, like, here's $5. I'm sorry I couldn't wrap it for you. Or $100, because I sat in the front of the church and found it. You ever heard the song, The Drummer Boy? And, you know, need drums, and I can't. I wasn't trying to drum. Well, not that I'm any good at it anyway. I have nothing to bring you. And I thought, how appropriate. How appropriate to understand Christmas. I got nothing. I got nothing to bring Jesus. I got nothing to bring of any value, of any worth. I stand there like the little drummer boy, even unable to drum. And I sit there with nothing that I've brought and nothing except myself. And I'm reminded of those very painful and powerful parables that Jesus was telling his disciples about what the end of the world is going to be like. And there's a parable, I think you may remember it. I don't know if I will tonight or not, but it goes something like this. It says, Jesus, or a certain man, threw a wedding banquet and invited everybody to come, and they kept going out and bringing more people in and more people in, and they went to the highways and the byways, and they brought people in from all over the place. And when some people didn't want to come, he said, that's fine, I want you to go farther. I want you to dig deeper. I want you to drag the bums off the street. I want you to go under the bridges and bring them in. Tell them the banquet's ready. And in a wedding banquet like this would have been, if you don't have a wedding gown, the bridegroom himself would supply an outfit to put on, kind of like the suit coat at a fancy restaurant and a tie, if you need that. And they were ready. And then the parable goes on and it says, and the bridegroom, you know, came and he looked at a man who was sitting at the table, not dressed appropriately. And he said, take him and throw him out. Send him, in the parable, it doesn't say this, but send him out into the street where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And it means send him to hell. And I go, whoa, that's a heavy moment. An inadequacy. I came unprepared. I didn't have the gift I was supposed to have. And I didn't have the outfit I was supposed to wear. And you don't understand, Lord. And the Lord does, but it's too late in the parable. And then right next to it, there is a parable about 10 bridesmaids. We would call them bridesmaids today. And they were supposed to wait in the tradition of a Jewish wedding for the bridegroom to come, and they were all piled up with the bride, and they're in the house, and they do what girls do when they're getting ready for a wedding, which is talking and sleeping and eating and giggling and laughing and hair and nails and whatever else they all do, right? And the bridegroom waits and waits and waits, like the bridegroom gets to do in this kind of situation, because he'll, you know, does this. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, the bridegroom announces that he's coming. And all the girls get up and they have had these lanterns, these lights that they have to carry as part of the wedding banquet. And the five girls ran out of oil. The oil that fed the lamp, that kept the light burning, they run out. And they're begging the other girls, the other five, please, share your oil with us because we ran out. And the girls say, no, we can't, because if we share ours with you, there's a good chance we'll run out before he finally really gets here and everything is right. And so the girls, five of them, have to go running around looking for some place to get the oil. And while they're out looking for oil to replenish the lamps that have gone out, the bridegroom comes. And he gathers the bride and the bridesmaids that are ready. And he takes them into the wedding banquet. And the door is closed. And the other five girls come when they have replenished their oil. And they knock at the door. And they answer it and they say, "Well, can we come in?" And they said, "No." They closed the door. And I go, oh. Jesus tells that parable because he's trying to help us understand. You know, the Lord said, you know what it's going to be like at the end of the world? He said, there are going to be people that are going to be standing in front of me who I have loved before they were ever born. And they're going to say, "Lord, Lord, we used to go to Christmas Eve service. And once in a while, we even went to Easter Sunday service. And we prayed every once in a while, at least when my family got sick. And we did all that kind of churchy Christian stuff. And Lord, you got to know who we are." And in the parable, it goes, "I have no idea who you are. Depart from me." And the sheep and the goats are separated. And the goats go to hell. And the sheep go to heaven. And I go, that's really what Christmas is really all about. It's Jesus Christ coming into the world to fill the inadequacies of a man like me, to take the blindness and the deafness and the darkness and the foolishness and turn me from that darkened, unlit candle into a light bearer that understands the gospel. You see, my dilemma was I was born a sinner. I don't do things right. And things go wrong and temperatures are wrong and songs have to be restarted over and people make mistakes and my family doesn't always appreciate me and I'm not always very good and I think I forgot some of the people that are coming to my house and I don't have a gift for them and I'm trying to decide whether to stop at Walgreens but everything looked closed on the way down and I have no idea what I'm going to do except smile a lot and say have another shrimp or something like that. And I go, that's what people in life are really all about. And it's all about the honesty when you finally look at yourself and say, I am an inadequate, incomplete sinner. See, Christmas is for sinners. It's not for Hallmark. Christmas is for people that have come to that point where they go, Lord, I got nothing. I have nothing to bring. I have nothing. I can't even play the drum. That's who Christmas is for. Because the Lord says, I will come into your life, Bruce. I will come into your circumstances, into every one of your inadequacies and failures, conscious and unconscious, every one of your behavior patterns that you still struggle in and situations you still don't solve or resolve. I will come and I will minister and reach out and touch your life with a love that you will never deserve, you will never fully comprehend, but beyond anything you can understand, I will be Christmas to you. I will come into a world that will hate me. I will come into your life when you seal me out of it. And I want to speak the truth to you because it's my heart to save every man, every woman, and every child. That's why he comes at Christmas. That's why he comes so vulnerable. And you all can understand. People walk into a room and there's this little baby just sitting there and half the people go, oh, can I hold her or him? You know, understand? And they just want to reach out to this precious child because they're so sweet and they lay in your arms and they just, oh, it's so easy. And God goes, that's how easy I am to receive. That's how easy I am to have and place your trust in me. That's how That's why I came like this. So you see, not only the strength and the judgment and the truth that one day you will be held accountable. One day you will either be a sheep or a goat, because that's what Christmas is about too. It's not about what you thought you could get away with in college because your parents didn't hear about it. It's not about what you thought you could do in the dark or the things that you think are okay because nobody notices or most of my friends are doing that anyway. It's about the fact that I am a sinner and I was born a sinner and I love sinning. And God had to enter my circumstance and into the wretch of the stable of my life, and he had to minister to a man like me. And he had to reach into those circumstances, and he said, like a little child, I will enter your world. I will come, and you will not have to be afraid of me. But I will come, and I will grow up in your life. And I will help you change and become different and discover the purposes of life and what love really is and understanding. And I will complete all the inadequacies that are in you, and I will fill your life. You see, Jesus doesn't stay as a child in my life for years. He grows into the man, to the God that he is, until he is filling us up with the presence of his love, his mercy, his grace, and the ability to see life differently. When God enters a man or a woman, he doesn't stay the baby in the manger. He grows up in us. And as he grows up in us, it changes the way we talk about our wives or our husbands, the way we look at our mom or dads. When we finally stare at ourselves in that mirror and ask the question, am I being honest about how I'm living my life? He takes us in situations and helps us to stand alone when the whole rest of the world seems to be going in one direction. Jesus, you want me to stand right here, don't you? Yes. You're my man in this place. You're my woman in this college. You're it. You are the one on the floor that I have called, and you know I'm talking to you. You are the one at this job. You are the one at this company. You are the one in this office. You are the one in your family in some situations, and I want to speak in you and through you and to you. I want to come to you as a small child, but I want to grow up in your life. See, Christmas isn't just, it isn't just warm, fuzzy feelings. I mean, that's okay, because sometimes there's a side of our relationship with God that is just that. It's warm, it's friendly, it's comfortable. But then there's that side where God just grows and he keeps building and he keeps nurturing us and he keeps feeding us. And suddenly we begin to look around and say, Lord Jesus, you've been saving me from the first day, haven't you? You've been working in my life and opening my eyes and giving my ears a chance. The last thing God wants to hear from your mouth is, but I went to Christmas Eve service. I know I never followed you. I know I never invited you. I know I never trusted in you. But Lord, I knew your name. Because God's going to, with integrity and honesty, look at you or me and say, I have no idea who you are. And that door will close. And so Christmas Eve takes an inadequate preacher, an inadequate man, an inconsistent individual, and God indwells this stench of a manger, this man who is the manure of life, and he makes it glow. He gives purpose to even the straw that is in my life, and he takes and uses it to accomplish whatever he chooses to accomplish, because that's the nature of God when he enters a manger, or he enters a stable, or he enters the life of a preacher, or a man, or a woman, or a child. And that's what he's going to do in my life, in your life. He brings the light of Christmas. He brings the truth of the light of Christmas. He brings the whole message from beginning to end. I've come to save you. I want you forever and eternity with me. And in between, I will bless your socks off. Will you follow me? See, the Christmas story has shepherds who heard the Christmas message. They left their sheep and they came to see the Savior. And they couldn't keep their mouths shut after they met him. The Christmas story has the account of wise men who left their homes, their families, their lands, and traveled for days and days or weeks. We have no idea how far they have traveled, maybe 1,000 miles. And they come to that manger and they worship the King because they got Christmas. They understood what it was really all about. And that's what it's really for you and I tonight. It's understanding that one day you got nothing. You'll stand before the Lord with nothing. And the only thing that you're going to be able to say, Lord, I asked Jesus to save a wretch like me. And his answer was yes. That message of Christmas is one that has to be received, trusted, grown up in. That's the message I send you out with. That's the message I speak to your own heart with. And that's the message that the Holy Spirit might be speaking to you tonight. God has a call upon people's lives because he loves them. Before all time, in the inconsistencies of life and sound and people and families and everything else that goes on in our lives, God says, I have come into the world to save sinners. Apostle Paul said, I think I'm the chief of all of them. What an interesting confession. I got nothing. It's just me, Lord. I'll take you, Paul. I'll save you. I love you. Jesus died for you. And so this Christmas Eve, I want us to bring our inadequacies and our inconsistencies and our failures and our struggles with people who we live with and the fact that we may mess up on the gifts tonight or we may not get a single gift tonight, and I want to put it all together and I want to bring it before the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I am, everything I've got, everything I am not, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I am the drummer boy at the manger that can't even play the drum. I'm a preacher that is hollow inside except for the light and the truth that you pour into my life. I'm the inconsistent individual that struggles, Lord, in my walk with you. I, Lord, need to grow up as you have grown up in my own heart. I need to learn what trust is, Lord. I need to surrender. I need to let go of the worldly things I hang on to like they're going to matter someday. I need to get my priorities in order. Lord, I pray that not one single child or parent will ever be separated by death, but that in eternity we will celebrate eternally with you. Lord, you have said that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. Lord, I guess the truth is, we're either going to do it here on this side of the grave or too late on the other side. You are Lord. I pray, Lord, that there would be a coming together, a touching of people's lives, a message of life and tenderness, a vulnerability of a precious new baby that needs to be held and holded and encouraged. And at the same time, Lord, help us to grow up, feed us, Lord, by the power of your word and the faithfulness of your spirit. Bless each of the families, the children, the grandchildren, the extended families that are here tonight. Let this be a night of anointing, of both joy and confidence and peace in you, Lord. I pray this in your name. Amen. I don't have a candle either. Oh, good. I didn't come prepared for the service. You have to understand it. Now, if I had my way, I would have you light somebody else's candle like this. Stick your flame in their candle. Because that's what God does. He's the light that brings the ignition to a dead wick. But for the sake of candles and how they burn, you're going to have to hold them burning like this. And the people are going to have to reach in and put the candle, the next one, to the flame. Here's what I want you to be aware of. Following Christ is as simple as that, as hard as that. It isn't that your candle won't get lit tonight. It's that you can lose the light if you don't guard it. Not because the candle doesn't want to burn, or the light doesn't want to stay lit, but because your circumstances and the flesh and the wind of the world blows it out. We go to the Christ candle. There's one here, but I'm going to light it off the center candle in the Advent wreath. We're going to ask that the lights be turned out. And I'm going to ask that you stand just to make it easier. I'll start passing this forward. Just reach. I got one more. There you go. One more dimming. There you go. And I want you to just keep turning to the person behind you, in front of you, cross aisles, whatever it takes. And as we do that, we're going to be singing this song. Kind of interesting. The song is built on inadequacy. I don't know if you know the first account of it. There was no organist in the church. The organ was broken. So typical of life, eh? Things are broken. Things are not where they should be. And a guy who played a guitar got together with a guy who had written a poem. And they came up with this first song. And it's passed on through the world. And people now understand what it's really all about. This is your moment. This is God coming into the manger of your life. Not with judgment or cruelty or harshness or insensitivity, but in the tender smile of a newborn baby. May the Spirit of God just inhabit your life. May the candle of the light of God be also lit in your heart as we sing this song together. Silent Night. Here we go.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infants of tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Stille Nacht. Heilige Nacht. Auf Deutsch. And someone came along and heard the words, translated them into English so they could bless your heart. Someone else translated them into another language. You see, the truth is, this silent night, holy night, is not just for us, but it's for the world. May God bless you, your children, your family, your grandchildren, your mothers and fathers, your grandmas and grandpas, every acquaintance and friend that will be with you these next few days. May the light of Christ be in your life and bless you in every way. And I pray God's grace and joy and a Merry Christmas in each of your lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you tonight. Have a wonderful evening. And try and behave. Oh, let's do it, son.